Ave Maris Stella, Dei Mater Alma.
Welcome everybody, Steve Cunningham with Census Fidelium, coming at you with another Census Fidelium Hour. You can find other stuff of mine at Census Fidelium YouTube channel. I'm also on Gab, Rumble, Odyssey, Spiritus TV, Gloria TV, BitChute, you name it. I've been preparing for a lot of this for a very long time, so I'm on a lot of other platforms, and censusfidelium.com, which I actually got away from WordPress because of issues there, just in case they went after me, because other people I've seen they take down, and so I'm on another hosting site. I don't even know what it is. A friend of mine put me on there. Anyways, you can find other works there and other podcasts, videos, and articles, links, all that jazz. If you go to the .com site, there's 11,000 links, meditations, reading, scripture. I even have Spanish. I have the entire Bible in English and Spanish with commentary, and Dom Garangé in four languages in links. Nobody on the planet has it. Why? Because I'm caring about the souls of people, and I don't give a you-know-what about putting up liturgical war links or calling another bishop names, things like that. I'm actually talking about trying to get people to heaven, which isn't a popular thing, because if you look on the numbers on videos and such like that, the videos I get are probably a couple hundred. I have 240,000 subscribers, and only about maybe a few hundred watch a sermon anymore. Depends if it's a sexy title, make it 2,000. But if someone puts a video about the Pope stinks, or this bishop is garbage, or this guy got canceled, or what was the latest one? The Antichrist is here. You're going to get 200,000 views, because people like that stuff. People don't like the actual stuff that needs the live out of your salvation in fear and trembling. Now, saying that, last week was the Davos week the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, where a bunch of unelected people, actors, actresses, athletes, musicians, and philanthropists, people that make money, get rich off pretending to be charitable, and others, including politicians, meet to basically run your lives without your votes. Now, I bring this up because of potential problems for the church down the road. And the best thing about it, Jocko Willink brought up a good point. He's a former Navy SEAL. He mentions the worst thing that could happen, worst thing when you're in a foxhole, worst thing you're on the other side in a war, is you hear an ordnance being shot off and you wonder where it's going to land. You know, a missile gets fired, a grenade launch, whatever. You boop, and you wonder, where is that going? Can't see it. You don't know where it's going until it explodes. It could be coming for your head. You have no idea. It could be going the opposite direction. You have no idea. So the fear of the unknown gets you really upset, worrying about it. And then afterwards, all right, it lands, it explodes. Now you pick up the pieces afterwards, and you move on. Wherever you're basically on the defensive. I'm trying to get people on the offensive. Here's what they are saying. Here's what's coming down the pipe. If you don't believe it, look up the information yourselves. Prove me I'm wrong, which no one has done in the last 2.5-3 years. And show me where it was. Show me how we can get out of it without doing anything else. Or show me where these guys are failing. Because they are all over right now. Anyway, so let's get to it. The main thing I care about is the last video, last bit of it. But I'll show you the other stuff that's going on. Here's Gore.
These emissions down. And just to put the...
Now, I played this on my news show. It's News from the Pew. If you want to type it in, it's a News from the Pew channel. We do it every week. And I try to bring up news that's going around the world with solutions and put it in a Catholic light. Anyway, here we go.
Science in a slightly different context. People are familiar with that thin blue line that the astronauts bring back in their pictures from space. That's the part of the atmosphere that has oxygen, the troposphere. And it's only 5 to 7 kilometers thick. That's what we're using as an open sewer. If you could drive a car straight up in the air at interstate highway speeds, you'd get to the top of that blue line in 5 minutes. And all the greenhouse gas pollution would be below you. We're still putting 162 million tons into it every single day. And the accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs exploding every single day on the Earth. That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and the rain bombs, and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees predicted to reach 1 billion in this century. Look at the xenophobia.
Not a fear-mongering guy at all, is he?
Trends that have come from just a few million refugees. What about a billion? We would lose our capacity for self-governance.
Who cares if it's true? Just scare people.
To act. So in answer to your question, I would say we have to have a sense of urgency much greater than we have yet had. And we need to make some changes.
Last time we were here in Davos in the winter, it was January 2020, and I saw you at that point, and we were at a breakfast right over here.
This is Moderna's CEO.
Came up to me in this small room, and you were talking about how you had actually, you were working on a vaccine for COVID, and at that point, COVID-19 didn't even really exist in our minds. We were just hearing about them.
I think the World Economic Forum, again, is showing prescience and leadership. They have, with the U.S. National Academy of Medicine, Victor Zhao, and CEPI, set up a regional vaccine manufacturing collaborative to develop a framework for regions that want to expand their vaccine manufacturing capacity. And we'll have a closed-door meeting later today to talk about how that framework can be improved and then shared with regions that are interested in increasing their manufacturing capacity. And Minister Moreno, I think, might want to talk about that a little bit later. But the other root cause of the inequity was scarcity. Where there is scarcity, there will be inequity. And that's the driver of the 100 Days mission. This is CEPI's goal that we've articulated, which has now been embraced by the G7 and G20, to accelerate vaccine development even over and above what was achieved in 2020.
So even faster, even though there's people dying, let's go faster.
Threats within 100 days. That would give us a fighting shot of preventing pandemics altogether.
At our party conference in the autumn of last year, we set our plans for what we call our green prosperity plan, going towards clean power generation by 2030. And that's ambitious. Wait. That means, and here at Davos has been an opportunity for me to speak to many CEOs of businesses and investors who would partner us if we're in government to do that. There does need to be a transition. Obviously, it will play its part during that transition, but not new investment, not new fields up in the North Sea, because we need to go towards net zero. We need to ensure that renewable energy is...
Net zero, I mean, remember, that's net zero carbon. So CO2, you know, the thing that gives life to the planet, is a poison. You've been gaslit and lied to for longer than 3 years. They've been doing this for a long time. And now net zero means zero carbon. So what does humans spew out? What do they exhale? I do. Carbon dioxide comes out of my nostrils. That's simple biology. These guys want net zero. Does that sound like wanting to get rid of people to me?
Where we go next.
Bring you in on this. First of all, are you surprised that your prime minister didn't show up to Davos?
Yes, I think our prime minister should have showed up at Davos. Yes. I absolutely do. And one of the things that's been, impressed on me since I've been here is the absence of the United Kingdom. And that's why it's really important.
If anybody's going, all right, oh, Steve's a nutcase. This literally happened last week. You have their videos on the YouTube. All of them are documented. You can look for them yourselves. This is what everyone is doing. This is what everybody on the planet, every country, is doing the same playbook at the same time. Again, if you don't believe me, look it up yourself. I'd be love to be proved wrong. I haven't yet, but I'd be love to be proved wrong.
That
who's in charge at this point?
Rachel Reeves is here as a statement of intent that should there be a change of government, and I hope there will be, the United Kingdom will play its part on the global stage in a way I think it probably hasn't in recent years. And so that's my opportunity to say why we're here. I do think the Prime Minister should be here having these discussions, having the meetings that I've been having. I actually think it should be a catalyst for all of us to say, well, come on, there is a challenge in relation to the climate crisis. That's been there for a very long time. But the Ukraine conflict has brought that into sharp focus. And we need to stop seeing it as just a challenge. So, well, it's actually the single biggest opportunity we've been given for a very long time to transition, to take the jobs and opportunities of the future. I do think that that requires a different view of the state. And this is something that will
happen
if we have a Labour government in the United Kingdom, because what we want is an active state that is not saying, well, look, we're going to suck it all up to the centre, not saying we're going to leave it to the private sector, but a state that partners with the private sector to take these opportunities.
Not the church, but the
state. Very important point that you are addressing. My daughter, 24, inspired me and said, Dad, how can you advocate for these zero carbon value chains if you still eat meat? So I stopped eating meat. Now the math would say, well, you need to stop eating meat.
Now we'll finish. I'll finish this little mantra on the other side of the break. But remember, these guys are going after every walk of life you live in. I don't care if you're driving right now. They're going after your cars. Don't believe it? Email me. I have the links. They're looking to get rid of the vehicles you have. And there's a reason for that. And I'm tying it all together for later. Because this, no one sees the big picture in this one. Anyway, see you on the flip side.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva, host of Faith and Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. Our show addresses the aspects of sport, character, morality, and ethics often neglected in everyday sports conversations. For instance, we discuss the morality of transgender athletes, some dioceses' decision to disallow practice or games on Sundays, and the poor habit of injecting politics into the game. But first, I want to thank you for listening to our network of shows, and in particular, our show, Faith and Sport. The Carolina Catholic media staff works very hard to bring you important and updated content directly related to our wonderful faith. And considering Carolina Catholic Media is fully funded by the listener, we need your financial help to keep bringing this programming to you. So please offer a monthly pledge or one-time donation to keep us moving in the right direction. And join me, Dr. John Acquaviva, as I discuss my two favorite topics, my faith and the world of sport, on the Faith and Sport Show here on Carolina Catholic Media Network. And we look forward to your donation.
Hi, everyone. It's Jason Murphy for the Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas and the Obligation Radio Show here on the Carolina Catholic Media Network. Registration is now open for the 13th annual Catholic Men's Conference of the Carolinas to be held on March 18th, 2023 at St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church. It's going to be an amazing day of faith, fellowship, and prayer. Of course, we'll be joined, as always, by our own Bishop Peter Jugas of the Diocese of Charlotte. We also have a great lineup of speakers, including Charles Frawney. Charles is the author of Slaying Dragons, What Exorcists See and What We Should Know. He's going to be there to discuss spiritual warfare. Also joining us, Jonathan Fanning. He is an author, speaker, an entrepreneur, and a father. Coming to us from High Point, North Carolina, the Diocese of Charlotte, is Deacon John Clark. Deacon is a former NYPD SWAT officer and former MMA fighter. You won't want to miss this one. Scott Wieman is going to be another one of our speakers. He is with Catholic in Recovery. He's going to talk to us about addiction and recovery for Catholics. And our MC this year will be Kevin Spaulding. Kevin is a speaker, an author, and business life coach. You can go online now to www.catholicmenofthecarolinas.org. Make sure to use the promo code radio and save $5. We look forward to seeing you there on this awesome day full of faith, fellowship, and prayer. For the Catholic Men's Conference, Carolinas, the Obligation Radio Show, my name is Jason Murphy. God bless, and Esto Vir.
Welcome back, everyone. It's Steve Cunningham with the Sons of Fidelium Hour. And yes, we do look at the good, the true, the beautiful. But if we don't look at what's coming, we don't have anywhere to prepare to maintain the good, the true, the beautiful. And also, we're all the church militant. We aren't the church, hey, let's sit back and kick our legs up and have a Mai Tai. This stuff is coming down the pipe, and the church needs to lead the way. Us, the Catholics, ain't the Protestants. Now, back a couple years ago, to get the churches reopened, guess who led that way? It was the Protis. The heretics with the real absence. They led the way. We have the real presence. We are the light of the world. We have the true faith. And when that salt loses its flavor, it should be thrown on the street and trodden. Right now, we're getting trodden. Anyway, here's more of what the things they're planning to come. And again, think about this in the bigger scope of things.
11 years to compensate for a flight to Thailand. Yes, but if a billion people stop eating meat, I tell you it has a big impact. Not only does it have a big impact on the current food system, but it will also inspire innovation of food systems. And I predict that we will have proteins not coming from meat in the future. They will probably taste even better. So why are we trying to mimic meat if we can have a better taste? They will be zero carbon and much healthier than the kind of food that we eat today.
Again, the zero carbon is going after the cows, going after chickens. That's why your eggs are so expensive at the grocery store right now, is because they're literally going after chickens saying, oh, it's a bird flu. We got to kill millions of chickens because one chicken had a sniffle. That's not a joke. Look that up. And cows, the cow farts. They literally say the cow farts worst thing in the world. Again, carbon. They're looking about carbon. You want to eat grasshoppers and insects, which is exponentially worse for the human body. Just because you need to save you need to sacrifice to save Mother Earth. The Earthism religion. You know the church and the anti-church thing that John Paul II talked about? We're in it. This is the anti-church. This religion of Earthism, where Earth, Mother Nature is the God. Paganism. It's returning back to paganism. And this, they're trying to, and by the way, when you get fake stuff, what do we got in the grocery stores right now? Processed foods. It's already giving people cancer and not making people fatter and things like that because it's unnatural. If we got back to natural meat, natural stuff, better water, better, get back to raw milk. People in North Carolina, there's a ban on raw milk in the state. Why? It's because it's healthy. You drink that thing, your bones get better, your health gets better, you wouldn't need to worry about that little Rona thing because of raw milk. It's that good for you. But they banned it. So you get the processed junk over at the grocery store that where it does that pasteurized thing that destroys all the good enzymes and give you this other, that's why you're lactose intolerant because you can't drink it. I drink raw milk all the time. You give me that stuff at the grocery store, I go right to the bathroom. Why? It's unnatural. But we're not, we continue to do this unnatural stuff.
That is a mission that we need to get on. I can inspire you to maybe look at an organization called EAT, easy to remember.
I think there's a huge impetus now for a national digital infrastructure. Digitization in healthcare is, I think, one of the great game changers. You know, we should be helping countries to develop.
And that happened during the Obama years?
But the national digital infrastructure, which they will need with these new vaccines. And then, you know, finally, it's also about showing people and showing the political leadership that you can make a positive difference to your healthcare system by adopting these measures because they've got an impact beyond. You need to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been. Some of the vaccines that will come on down the line will be multiple, there'll be multiple shots. So you've got to have, for reasons to do with the healthcare more generally. But
so right now your healthcare system thinks God did flawed work on you. You have to live with injections for the rest of your life to be able to get through life. God didn't do it good enough. We got a better idea. And we got to have it digitally. So why is that a big deal? Again, we're adding on to that.
But certainly for a pandemic or for vaccines, you've got to have a proper digital infrastructure. And many countries don't have that. In fact, most countries.
Pat your head. Where does this, explain where we'll be in 1 year, where we'll be in 5 years, and where you would estimate we'd be in 10 years in the complexity of thought.
Fascinating stuff.
From sophisticated brainwave readers.
Yes, this lady is part of the Fourth Industrial Revolution video that Schwab put out 4 years ago.
So, I am a futurist. I'm not a perfect predictor of the future, but I'll give you my 1 year, 5 year, 10 year. So, focusing in the world of wearable technology as opposed to implanted technology, and I do believe that within many of our lifetimes.
So, wearable tech, you're wearing it now. If you have an Apple Watch or something like that, it's wearable. By the way, you had to check, make sure your skin isn't burning from the EMFs from emitting from it.
We'll see healthy people using implanted brain technology as well. Then we can decode complex thought. But wearable brain technology, I think in 1 year, we will be largely where we are now, but with much better form factor technology. So many companies are launching these earbuds and headphones this year that have sensors that are built in. One of the things that has limited the widespread adoption of the technology until now has been that...
By the way, if you don't know who that lady is, if you ever saw the fourth...
start to be able to pick up. 10 years from now, even wearable technology, I don't think is going to decode complex thoughts. But it is going to decode a lot more. And already, gamers have figured out, for example, while a person is wearing a headset, how to prime a person through their brainwave activity to be able to decode their PIN number and their home address. So you don't have to have your full complex thought decoded to reveal your thoughts, right? It just gets at what we think thought is.
And how do you decode somebody's PIN number? You flash a series of numbers and see how their brain reacts to them?
So you have recognition memory signals that are preconscious and subconscious, and this is part of why it's been used, for example, by governments to interrogate criminals. Do you recognize this potential co-conspirator? Do you recognize...
By the way, there's an article out a couple of years ago. Again, I've been following this diligently for the last few years, where they talk about this kind of thing, and you're standing in the crowd of your politician is they've given a speech or something, and the hypothetical situation is in Korea, I think North Korea, and basically they go, with this tech, they can figure out if something that your dictator says makes you angry or not, and then all of a sudden there's a knock on your door later in the day.
This murder weapon, those preconscious signals, like what we call the P300 wave or the N400 wave, these are before you even consciously process information. So you could prime it with a number and then see if a person recognizes it. And you can do it without them realizing that that's what you're doing.
So will all of our passwords be cracked first by this or quantum computing? Hard to tell. All right.
I think we're moving past.
It is a video of the principle of the line, which is really the revolution in urban design that NEOM is pioneering.
Before I go on, I want to tell you I was wrong about the 15-minute city. They're shooting for 5.
And we can talk a little bit more about that as we go through the rest of the panel in the session.
Yeah, I especially love the 15-minute city where they'll make sure your license plate keeps you in that area.
Yeah, so basically the way it works,
never happening.
It's 170 kilometers long.
This thing's never happening.
200 meters wide, 500 meters high.
Wow.
The height is from the sea level, so as you go inwards and the topography actually goes up, then the height of the actual building structure reduces until you get to the mountains where it actually, you no longer have a mirror line. The idea is about what we call zero gravity urbanism, which is not necessarily having to be linked and anchored to a ground. How can we think of cities that go vertical and not only horizontal? This has many benefits. It's 5 minutes walk from all of your needs.
Here's some non-benefits. Lack of freedom, lack of liberty. You're not outside. You're in a prison, basically. You see anywhere there's going to be a church in there?
15 minutes and 5.
Wide, and each model will take 80,000 people on average. Obviously, some are going to be more densely populated than others. And when you do it this way, you're only 5 minutes walk away from your school, your hospital, supermarket. The other thing is that the catchment area becomes a lot bigger. The catchment area for
businesses food deserts now
becomes
in the
an 80,000, 2% of the size of London, yet taking the same amount of population at end state. The first module is going to finish in 2027, end of 2027. No. And as you can imagine, this is a generational project. So it will continue to go on until 2045 when the whole project is complete. We think of this as not a start and an end. This is a city that is being built, so it's being designed forever.
We built this city.
We're not talking about not rock and roll. Implanted devices of the future. I'm talking about wearable devices that are like Fitbits for your brain. It used to be that there was very little we could tell from EEG activity. But already, using consumer wearable devices, these are headbands, hats that have sensors that can pick up your brainwave activity, earbuds, headphones, tiny tattoos that you can wear behind your ear. We can pick up emotional states, like are you happy or sad or angry? We can pick up and decode faces that you're seeing in your mind. Simple shapes, numbers, your PIN number to your bank account.
So yeah, this stuff is literally going on, and we have to be prepared and be able to figure out how to avoid or stop what a lot of this is going on. Now get into why and the dangers behind it on the other side of this.
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to speak to you about the fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, a men's group that was started under the leadership of Father Matthew Codd by the intentional men of the parish of St. Thomas Aquinas here in our diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. In our first efforts, we were asked if we would model our men's group in a way that other parishes could simply follow. With that intent in mind, we created the FSJJourneyman.com website. On that website, you can find all that is needed to create your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group in your parish, as well as resource documents that we are intentionally placing into our faith community. We hope that you will step closer to the path and to each other in the just model of St. Joseph as you consider creating your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group.
Hello, my name is Father Mark Lawler. I'm the pastor of the parish of St. Therese in Mooresville, North Carolina. I've been a priest of the Diocese of Charlotte for the last 27 years. When I was a seminarian almost 30 years ago, I began to write some of the stories of some of the experiences that I had as a seminarian and continued that as a priest. And in April of this year, I published a little book, a collection of these memoirs, basically my vocation story, some ministry stories, and a little family history or family experiences in there as well. So far, the response has been very positive, very humbling for me. The title of my book is Lessons and Stories from the Journey, Reflections from the Life of a Joyful Priest. If you're interested in obtaining a copy of this book, we have some copies here at St. Therese in Mooresville, but you can order it online as a paperback or as an ebook at Amazon.com. You can look under search Father Mark Lawler, L-A-W-L-O-R, or the title Lessons and Stories from the Journey, Reflections from the Life of a Joyful Priest. Thank you very much.
Experience the incredible story of the woman who Time magazine named the most influential Catholic woman in the United States. Born Rita Rizzo, the future Mother Angelica grew up in a rough neighborhood in Canton, Ohio. Young Rita experienced abandonment, rejection, and heartache, but God touched her through a woman named Rhoda Wise. Encounter this amazing woman at the Mother Angelica Museum. Plan your visit today at motherangelicamuseum.com.
Carolina Catholic Radio is here to encourage Catholics to learn, love, and live their faith. We're here to go into the breach when the active parishioner leaves the pew, when the inactive or fallen away Catholic needs reminding, and when a Christian is searching for answers only found in the church that Jesus Christ started with his apostles over 2,000 years ago. Please consider making a one-time donation or monthly pledge today. For more information, contact us through our website at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Steve Cunningham Hour. Census Fidelium Hour is your host, Steve Cunningham of Census Fidelium YouTube channel and .com. Now, let's get back to this. All right, the World Economic Forum was last week. They did their whole, kin caboodle for 4 days out in Davos, where they lecture everybody on how bad you are while they fly in their private jets all over the place, polluting, in their words, polluting the world. But you're the problem in your car at your house or your Suburban, whatever you do, you're having a burger? Well, how dare you, as Greta would say. So the big thing about this that I've been harping on recently, well, the last few months, and I've been trying to get others, especially in the quote-unquote professional Catholic sphere, to be talking about this, because as one, all right, I'll go to the traditional Mass, I'll also go to the Byzantine Rite as well. They're both beautiful. But even if you go to a Novus Ordo parish, you live down the street from your parish, you might have to drive further than 5 minutes, 10 minutes to your parish. And in the book, John Signor has two great books, The Destruction of Christian Civilization and The Restoration of It. And it's a great two-book series. Get it. And in the second one, he talks about basically solutions, you know, like get rid of your TV and put a piano in. It's things like that. Start a movement where the parish is in the center of the city and you live around it. So he talks about how the women of the parish go to down to the salon that you guys go to, or nail place, whatever. Anyway, they talk and gather and, you know, yak it up there. The guys, they get together at the barbershop or the brewery, whatever. But everyone works around the area. It's kind of like you see with the monastery, especially like a Clear Creek. It's a Benedictine thing. It's not the Benedict option that Rod Dreher talks about, because Rod Dreher talks about literally just abandoning everything in kind of like in a bunker, whereas Benedict was talking about, you know, changing the city, converting it, and getting away. It's that whole strangers in the city idea. You live in a city, but you're not part of it. St. Philip Neri. He thought of Rome and said Rome was his desert. Why? Because he wanted to be like that, wanted to go and to be a desert father, wanted to be a martyr, but he was called to be in Rome. So he called Rome his desert. The Holy Face image of Venerable Leon de Pont, he talked about being crucified to the image. He never was able to leave, rarely left his house because of the Holy Image, the Holy Face image at his house. And he couldn't get out. And that's not a bad thing, but that was his cell. And if you read the Desert Fathers a lot, you hear, don't leave your cell all the time. St. Anthony of the Desert, don't leave your cell. Stay in your cell. There was a sermon that a Byzantine priestess got done. I put it together last night. He talked about creating deserts in your life. So wherever you live, make that your desert. Get away from the tech. Get away from the TV. And start reading scripture, meditating, prayer. Things like that. You know, as a full disclosure, I barely leave the house. I go to the gym and I'll go take the kids to go play, usually like a trampoline park or something. That's really it. I don't go many places. One, I'm busy getting stuff done here. And then off to, you know, kids, taking care of the family. And we don't go out a lot. We, you know, stay around here. And when the kids go to bed, read, things like that. And the day's over. It goes by like that. So in a sense, this rental is my desert. So I'm trying to keep that mindset of that. And you can have a desert anywhere you want. And even if you're working, you can still do that. Anyway, so the thing about this, everything's going digital. Everything's going, you got the digital currency coming. That's coming. Again, email me. I'll send you the links. Digital ID, digital, all this. And it's all the experiments of the shutdown that happened a couple years ago, 2020. And yes, we all dropped the ball on that. We just got to admit that, one. That was all just leading up to what's coming down the pipe is all this digital takeover, the 4IR, Fourth Industrial Revolution, the Great Reset for the popular slogan, Build Back Better, if you'd heard that before. So, Scotland, they plan to implement 20-minute neighborhoods nationwide. They are the first country to do it. Other places are playing with it right now. I think they have it on here, but if not, I know them. Let's see, just because I want you, it's on the link. Well, it's not on this. Maybe it's on the other one. Anyway, in the States, you have Portland experimenting with it. Paris is putting it in, implementing it. Oxford in England. And I just went stupid. There's another one. There's five total cities that are pushing it through. And I can't remember the other two right now. But example, let's see. We have already significant states to decarbonize energy and land use, but choices need to be made of how we can make sustainable use of natural assets in a way which benefits communities. Scottish government efforts are not to attempt to benefit community. I'll just tell you in a short part of itself. This happens. What this is, you can't go 20 minutes wherever you live. I'll explain it to you in a simple way. Wherever you live, they're talking about 20 minutes. You can go 20 minutes any direction. That's your space of living. So community, neighborhood, park, grocery store, your church, whatever. If it's in within that 20 minutes, it's kosher to go to. Whatever do you need. If it's outside of 20 minutes, you're not supposed to go there. And other states like Portland, the other ones, these guys are doing 20 minutes. Paris and Portland are sparing 15 minutes. New York has a 15 minute thing. They have a video on there. You can look it up. It's from years ago. But it's within the mindset of what you can, and they especially want you to walk it. So 15 minutes to wherever you can go, that's your world in a sense. So think about that outside of religion. You have family that lives outside 15 minutes. Guess what these guys are saying? You're not going to go visit them ever in your life again. You get to Zoom with them if you're allowed to. If you travel to a parish, say you want to go to a TLM and you don't live down in, if you're in North Carolina, you don't live down the street from Charlotte. I know people that travel an hour. I know back in when I was in Denver, Colorado, people traveled 3 hours. They lived in Nebraska and drove to Denver. And he was the Knights of Columbus Grand Knight. 3 hours in, 3 hours back. That was a Sunday. That saying, talking about this, that ain't happen. Why? Everything's digital, okay? You get digital currency, digital thing. They're trying to get the EV cars. They're pumping EV cars. I saw last night on Charter One, Spectrum One. They were been talking about EV cars for the last couple of weeks. They ended up bringing some Vietnam group in to manufacture it. They are pushing. Cooper is really pushing to get EV cars there. You can't sustain them. You can't keep the batteries. There's no way to charge them. They're basically slave cars, by the way. The slave labor in Africa to do it. It's bad for everything. If they're talking about pollution, it's more of a pollutant because of all the extra stuff that goes into it. Yeah, you might not be using gas, but no. Gas is a bad thing. They don't make you think about what else goes into it. And on top of that, the battery dies over and over and over again, just like your cell phone. How many times you charge that thing and it dies faster? And then when that you get a replacement, it's going to cha-ching cost you, baby. Anyway, all right, so let's say this. You get this thing comes down and we get in and we're like, oh, no big deal. Where everything's digitalized. Within that 20 minutes or 15 minute city, you can't drive and everything's an EV car. Guess what's going to stop when you get to that marker? Your car is going to stop. You traveled your 15 minutes. You either return or you stop. Your digital currency isn't working. Because remember, that's programmable money. You can only use it on a certain period, during a certain period, wherever they want you to use it, for whatever they want to use it. And if you don't use it in a specific time period, it's gone. And they can turn it on and turn it off anytime you want. See what happened in Canada a couple years ago, their trucker thing. See what's going on in Brazil. They cut their funds off. They can't pay for their bills when they do that. They literally cut their assets off. They use a controlled, 100% ultimate control, as August Carstens says. You can look that up. August Carstens, check it out. Type in that and you'll see his video. So your car won't work. Your currency won't work. Because if you did get to pass that, you wouldn't be able to buy anything. Or you wouldn't be able to donate to the parish because it's all digital and you can't donate because your cash is taken out. They know where you travel and know where you went. Okay. Maybe you get deducted points. So now your social credit score goes down a little bit. They cut your electricity off. They cut this off. They can do all that. They've done it before. Duke Power, if you're living in North Carolina, admitted to cutting your power off during the cold days a couple weeks ago during Christmas. Don't think that they can't do that. And again, it goes back to, all right, say you're traveling to Mass. They don't give one iota about you going to Mass. Again, they shut down the parishes. They were non-essential for years to the state. The state is the religion. The state is what... Think about it when you go to a Catholic school. How many are you off on the Immaculate Conception? Some are. But you're definitely off for Martin Luther King. You're definitely off for Veterans Day. You're definitely off for the state religion holy days. Are you off for the Catholic holy days? Some aren't. Some go to school for them. I know a couple schools that do get off on Immaculate Conception or other holy days of obligation or only holy days itself. Not all. The state runs the schools. The state runs everything. The state is the new God, the God that they want. Earthism is the religion. It's also what, there's a book, Pseudo-Pandemic, that I got, and he mentions that. And he calls it, sorry, I hate it. The gospel of it is Laudato Si, from the Holy Father. Unfortunately, they're using those things for this. So again, if you drive, I know plenty of people that don't live down the street from a parish that they go to. Byzantine Rite, they ain't nobody lives down the street from St. Basil's or that mission. Most of them have to travel from long distances. Guess what? This comes down. You're not going there. You're not going to Divine Liturgy. You're going to a TLM. Unless you live in the city, or unless you live down the street from it, you're not going to be allowed to go. So in my sense, we got to work to fight stuff like this. Here's a group, Oxford. Remember I told you that Oxford was, they were implementing it? The people got mad. Here's a video of what they were doing.
In the dead of night, a hooded figure removes a base plate for a bollard, then pours cement into the hole.
What they're doing, you've been to a park where they have that post there, and you can't drive down that sidewalk or whatever? That's what they're doing here. I'll show more on the other side of this segment.
Carolina Catholic Parish News. New happenings at St. Thomas Aquinas. On Saturday, February 4th at 10 a.m., the Diocese of Charlotte Office of Family Life presents Dr. David Anders, Called to Communion. Mr. Anders is the author of The Catholic Church Saved My Marriage, an important book on suffering and redemption. On Wednesday, February 9th at 6:30 p.m., all are invited to attend the pro-life panel with moderator Father Peter Essek. Guest speakers include Dr. Matthew Harrison, a board-certified family practice physician, including hospital care and emergency pregnancy centers, and Bryce Griffin, a wife mother who's sharing a depth of experience that will be sure to inspire and motivate. For the Carolina Catholic Media News, I'm Pam Cullen. God bless y'all.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
Faith and charity are key elements of life, but are they at the center of your retirement planning and life insurance decisions? Knights of Columbus, a trusted organization with a proud history of more than 140 years of helping its members, can help Catholic families with insurance and retirement planning solutions. Most importantly, we do this in a way that is compatible with Catholic teaching and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Investment Guidelines. Today, we have expanded our offerings to include retirement annuities, long-term care insurance, and disability income insurance. Beyond the benefits of financial protection, members may take satisfaction in knowing that Knights of Columbus contributes to causes that align with Catholic moral teaching. Let your faith inspire your financial decisions. Terms and conditions apply. Learn more by calling field agent Bob Gordon at 516-551-7838.
Welcome back to the Census Fidelium. I'm your host, Steve Cunningham. Let's get right back to it, to our final segment. We just got done talking about solutions. Here's what Oxford's doing. Remember, this guy's pouring cement into that post, just like if you go to a park, there's a post there to keep you from driving down the sidewalk. Well, this is a post to keep you from leaving the neighborhood.
The aim, to make it hard to install a new one. This footage, obtained exclusively by ITV Meridian, is one of hundreds of incidents of vandalism in Oxford's local traffic neighbourhoods. Those removing the barriers often don't even wait for the cover of night. Now, new figures show just how much this kind of activity is costing. Delivery drivers, some filmed flouting the rules.
Condone it, but I can understand it because they're not listening to us, and that's where the anger's coming in. You know, that and people being stuck in traffic. There is no democracy in Oxford.
Wanton vandalism or a form of civil disobedience.
So what they were doing, if you couldn't figure that out, they're taking the posts out, throw them away, or putting cement in the hole so the posts can't come back in. Because those posts are keeping them locked in the city. It's a prison, in a sense. Again, we have to be out in front of this. We have to be the light of the world. We, as John Stockton, the Hall of Famer from Utah Jazz basketball, said before about this on Jason Whitlock's Fearless Show, the church dropped the ball on this. We can't afford to drop it on. When this goes through, when CBDC goes through and digital and all this, and this 20-minute city, it's game over. Now, one way to beat around it is we got to get Catholic men to run for offices, state, local, all that. Forget about D.C. You know, that's my thing. Forget about D.C. We need people in the state house, in all the states, but we not focus locally, act locally. Focus on your county, city, and state. We need people in Raleigh that are up, that are one of those, tell kind of like this prime minister in Alberta, Canada, who just came out, pretty much said, you know what? Go pound sand to the World Economic Forum. We're not doing that. That's what we need here. Because right now, they are implementing that in the Capitol here. They are. You don't know much about it. Again, those EV cars aren't there just to be for, you know, ornaments on a tree. They are trying to eliminate your car. And they have done that. Or they, like California, they're doing it in the middle of this decade, banning the sale of them. You're not going to be able to buy them. Australia has banned people from taking loans out for them. Again, now salvation-wise, this has nothing to do with salvation. All right, you want to take off my energy? You want to take away stuff like this? You're Catholic. Who cares? Bring it on. Okay? That's fine. But we don't live in that mindset of that. We will flip out when the internet's not working. We have to learn how to detach. Incredible detachment coming up soon, because there's going to be a time, if you don't keep up with these jabs, which they're putting more and more out there for you, that they might not let you have energy, let you heat your house, let you cool your house, let you buy food. You're going to have to learn how to grow, learn how to eat, learn how to, you know, filter your water, get water. You have to learn how to keep your house cool and warm. Maybe you have to move closer to a parish. Number one thing. Being able to find a parish. There's going to be a housing crisis coming. Not too many people think about moving to a good parish. I know people that move further off in the sticks, kind of like to be off the grid. That's great and all. But when it comes down to salvation, you need a priest. How's Father going to get to you if he can't drive 15 minutes, longer than 15 minutes? You got to think about stuff like that. You got to get closer to your parish so in case you can't drive. Say you got a family of 6, 7, 8. Are you able to walk that family to the parish? Bike it? What's your plan? You got to start thinking about stuff like this, because that's a salvation issue. You need to get to how you get the parish, how you get the sacraments, how you get the confession. You know, at that time, you might not be, you know, there's people in Africa that walk an hour to get to the parish. That's why their masses out there are literally all day events, because maybe the sermon is 30 minutes long. Maybe they do catechism afterwards, because all these people are coming from far out regions to the mission. Which, that's what a mission was. People from all over were coming to there. Some were living there, some weren't. But they were taking a, it was an event. You went, and it took you forever to get to it. So they stick around for hours afterwards. Look at us today. We get there late, and we leave right when Father leaves. And there's a traffic jam to get out. There's a time coming when that's not going to be able to happen. You got to get our coach used to tell us back in the day when I played, you got to get your mind right. This is what's coming down. Here, I'm presenting you some things that aren't, no one's really talking about. And it could be very black-pilling. But we got hope. Our hope is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, obviously. So we don't get this, we don't feel despair. Trust me, I know way more than what's going on right now that I showed you. And I tell my wife all the time, you know, if I didn't have the faith, I'd probably be in a straitjacket. I smile. I laugh. I joke. I have fun. I still learn. You can be saved. You can make it to heaven without these lights on, without the internet. without all this. That's why people ask me, why you put 7-8 videos up on your channel? Well, I don't know if there's going to be internet in a year or you'll be able to use it, because they have talked about making sure you have a license for internet. They're talking about right now banning you from being on there if you aren't up to date, or if you spew hate speech, whatever hate speech is, their way of interpreting it. So comes a time that you might not be, you might have to have a license to be online. Okay. So how are you going to, what's your plan for that? Do you need it? Do you need your Twitter? Do you need your Facebook to tell the world every time you eat a sandwich that you're eating a sandwich, or you wherever you're going, you need to tell everybody we need to be going? You got to get away from that idea that who cares what other people think about you except what God thinks about you. There's a great verse, a great, what do you call it? Comment. That's not it. Saying by a desert father. Let's see if I can find that. I thought I had it. Here it is. Let's see if I can link to that. Show you that on the screen. It's called You Can Be All Flame. There it is right there. Abba Lot went to see Abba Joseph and said to him, Abba, as far as I can say my little office, I fast a little, I pray and meditate, I live in peace, and as far as I can, I purify my thoughts. What else can I do? Then the old man stood up and stretched his hands towards heaven. His fingers became like 10 lamps of fire, and said to him, if you will, you can become all flame. Now, the idea of that is, if maybe somebody thinks, you know what, I don't need to do too much, I'm overly doing it. Maybe I personally think I'm a zealot or I'm a fanatic. You know, if you go to we're in the middle of the NFL playoffs. You go to a game, everyone's doing what? They're dressed in their liturgical gear. They get there early. They leave late. They sing their hymns, their chants. You know, it depends on the fight song. They know their players. They know everything. They know when to stand. They know when to sit. They know what halftime, all that. They come. It's a religion. You don't ever think of them as nutty, do you? But if you say you fast a little bit, or you take Lent too seriously, just seriously, not even too seriously, people look at you as a fanatic, a nutball, a nut job. You're crazy. But I can go down the street, and you see it all the time. You see Carolina Panther gear all over the place, cowboy gear all over the place. You got a guy that wears a cowboy jacket all every day of his life. No one thinks twice of that. The minute you say Jesus Christ, you're a nut. You're a nutter. So that's what this is going on. Maybe you think, oh, I don't need to do this. Maybe I'm overdoing it. I'm overzealous. I'm overzealous for the faith. I'm praying too much. That's what this Abby's going up. If you will, you can become all flame. You have all your thoughts, minds, and heart into the church, into the faith, into the love of Christ, the love of the beautiful. That's kind of what the word philokale is. Don't have any apologies for it. Get out there and save souls, because there's going to be a time when you might not be able to pull that off. And if at that sense, if we get to become the where we are, kind of like there was the first 5 Saturday devotion, when they talk about what Our Lady said about being able to pray for the merits of the Pope to consecrate Russia. If we did our job, we would change the world. And as one Desert Father talks about, if one individual became on fire, became flame, that would think locally, act locally, convert your household, convert your neighbors, convert your street, convert your city. Now you got 10 people all over in these other ways. They're doing that. You see the exponent the growth out of this. If we start focusing on becoming the most on fire Catholic you can think of, maybe we have a chance on stopping all this. And even if it doesn't, kind of like, all right, who cares? Bring it on. You don't want me to eat meat? All right, I got chickens in the backyard. God will provide. You don't have to have stock up of food from now to the end of time. God will provide. Do we trust God or not? I used to be a huge idea of prepper. And then I started reading into more of this, getting into the Desert Fathers mindsets and things like that. I'm going, yeah, you know, I don't think I was trusting enough. God will provide. I don't need 10 years of food. God will provide. Just have the ability, just have the basics with you, and then love him. He'll love you back. He's not going to, as the line says, does he not take care of the sparrow? Thus the fields of the grass, or the flowers of the field. And you are even more greater than he. He will take care of you. There's some dark days coming. What are you? You're going to cower in the back, cry about it, forget about it, and just live your life anyways, or become the most on fire Catholic the world has ever seen? Choice is yours. God love you. Have a great rest of the week. This is Steve Cunningham with Sense Fidelium.
Semper Virgo, Felix Terra.